Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, today's text reminds us that God does not see the way we see. Our first reading is about how David was chosen and anointed by God to be the next king of Israel. And he is filled with the Spirit of God upon his anointing. According to the human eye, David was not the best fit for the next king of Israel, to be the next king of Israel. He was short, weak, too young. Samuel, the prophet to whom God had spoken, thought that the tallest and the strongest of Jesse's sons would be the chosen one. But God said to Samuel, "Do not look on the appearance or on the heights of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." The Lord does not see as mortals see, but the Lord looks at the heart. And in looking at our gospel text, Jesus also encounters people who could not see others as God does. Beyond their physical appearance, they only see a man who was physically blind. But beyond that, they didn't know anything about this man. They didn't take the time to get to know that person. They knew for a long time since birth that he was there, but they never went beyond getting to know that person. So they saw him as an inferior, as a sinner, as someone who sat outside of God's flock. Well, to their surprise, Jesus heals this man, and in doing that, expands God's flock, God's people. By healing this man's eyes, this man's eyesight, Jesus expands God's flock, God's community. He enables this man to see, which changed everything for this man. Now others began to notice this, and now all of a sudden people want to know this man. All of a sudden people want to know how is the change that he went through, all about that change. They even found his parents of this man. Now the text does not say whether this man who was born blind was a good person who had a good heart, or we don't know anything about this person, whether he had good qualities or not. But what we know is that Jesus took notice of this person. We know that Jesus saw him when nobody else saw this person. When everybody else overlooked this person, Jesus saw this person, healed him, cared for this person. So here's a question for us to reflect on. Have you ever run into someone who was hard for you to get to know because based on their physical appearance? Have you ever come across someone who just based on their physical appearance has been hard for you to get to know that person? Well, this reminded me of a personal experience I had this past year. I was invited to be part of prison ministry called Kairos. I don't know if anybody has heard, but there's this prison ministry called Kairos. And at the previous church where I was, people asked me several times to be part of that. And they kind of describe all the involvements that I needed to attend, 5 meetings on Saturdays. I had to attend this for 5 weeks, 2-3 hours training, and then a whole weekend at prison. So people continued to email me and call me, and I just did not want to go. I said, that's too much commitment, and what difference would I make to people who are in prison? They can't change their situation. They're there because they did something wrong, and I just decided didn't put any energy in responding to emails. But I finally gave in and attended the meetings to prepare for the weekend events. And then the time came and I made the long trip to California City, to that prison there. And on my first day after going through all the security doors, I entered a room. And just minutes after that, the inmates came in and sat at the tables where we were all sitting in. And the first day was meant for us to build relationships, just to get to know inmates. Well, the person who sat next to me had tattoos all over his body. He had his head shaved. I had a hard time even looking at him. He was very tall and strong, and just, I was not sure what to say. How even to start a conversation? So here I am, a pastor who does not know how to start a conversation. That's the kind of pastor you call to this church. All right. Well, my installation is not, you know, you still have some time. So this person outside the walls of the prison was not someone I would approach for a friendly conversation or even have as a friend. Well, the very first words that he said to me were, "Thank you for coming. We really appreciate you guys sacrificing your time to be with us this weekend." So that really softened my heart from that minute and eliminated that inaccurate perception that I had for this man. And of course, from that moment on, God opened this priceless opportunity for us to get to know each other. For me to see that despite whatever crime he was there for, he was a child of God. He had signed up for that weekend for his faith to be strengthened. And so God, in that moment, opened my eyes. That weekend, God opened my eyes to see that even in those hopeless and dark places, God can redeem people. God is there and was there the whole weekend. So that week we were all reminded, whether we were inside or outside the prison, that God had come to this world for us, for our sake, to pour out his body and blood for us and for our sake, showing us that we are worth loving, filling us with God's forgiveness and grace. John the Evangelist uses this story of Jesus to help the church of his time to be more open and to strengthen in people a sense of belonging, a sense of unity among God's people, inviting them to build relationships across all differences and across all the dividing walls that separate them from one another. We all know that we live in a challenging society. There's a lot of divisions. We all think differently. We have different views. We perhaps evaluate different social issues differently. And I'm not going to go into all of that today. But in the midst of all that divides us, our society, the walls that we set between each other and God, God through Jesus today is inviting us to continue to build deeper and meaningful relationships with one another and to those around, even with those that we have a hard time. And I love that now I belong to a church that worships in two languages, English and Mandarin. I absolutely love being part of multicultural churches. That is where I often find myself. When I'm reflecting on my ministry, where I have been, I grew up in Mexico City, and so Spanish is my native language, but growing up, my parents always had missionaries to our home. They opened their home for missionaries from the United States, from all over, to come and to work in our Lutheran churches. And in seminary, I was at a church in Oakland, and they had English. And they also have services in Swahili. So they had they call it a one African choir. So they invited me to sing with them. I had no knowledge of Swahili language. But they said, as long as you pronounce each word as you would in Spanish, we'll take you. So so they took me in. So see. So I've been in different congregations that that have had variety of languages. Two, three churches who have had Spanish and English, and I absolutely love that. So I do want to say thank you to God for bringing us together, and I pray that that God continue to remind us that that we are all part of one community. Just as this man was washed in the pool of Siloam, which means sand, we all have been washed by Christ Jesus through the waters of baptism. What unites us is our Christian, our Christ-centered faith. We indeed belong to God through Christ Jesus, our shepherd, our king, our light, who comes to us as we break bread together at the table, as we listen to his word, and empowers us to serve this world. So let us be empowered and strengthened today by Jesus, and may we continue to see each other, our neighbors, and all people around us in the way that God sees each one of us. Amen.